Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing this week's study on that favored and beautiful Psalm 23. In the very last two verses, we find these powerful words. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In verse 5, where it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a vital and a powerful promise for the believer today. This is for this life. This is not a reference to the heavenly feast, as some have often characterized this, that God was going to prepare that great wedding feast that's spoken of. But this refers to God preparing a table of feasting, of rejoicing, of joy in the presence of even the enemies of our soul. The enemy of your soul will not be in heaven. So you will not be in his presence when you're having that great marriage supper of the Lamb. So this cannot refer to that particular feast. This is a promise for this life. We find that David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 27, verse 13, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said he would have fainted if he didn't think it was for this life, if he only believed it was for the afterlife. No, the feasting that we are promised, this ability of God to prepare a table, to feast and have joy and rejoicing, happens here on this earth if we will walk with God. Here's an example of feasting in the presence of the enemy. Remember Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6? This story is powerful and we love it. We love how it ends, that Daniel gets out of that lion's den. But the reality is he had to go or face the enemy, and the enemy wanted him dead, and that enemy arranged for him to be thrown into that den of lions. And yet, what happened to Daniel? You could say he feasted in the presence of his enemies. It says in verse 28, after telling the whole story in Daniel chapter 6, so this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. That was the end of the story. That was the feasting in the presence of his enemies, though they had made him be thrown into that den of lions. We also see the same idea of being able to feast in the presence of our enemy in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown in the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. Same thing. It looked like sure death. It looked like the enemy was going to get the victory. But what happened there? Again, God caused them to end up feasting in the presence of their enemies. If you look in Daniel chapter 3 and read verse 30, again it says, the very last verse, after telling the story of them being thrown into the fire, then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. They were in a Babylonian kingdom, a heathen king that they served, and yet they were feasting. Why? Because they didn't have any problems? No, because God caused them to feast in the presence of their enemies. God prepared a table before them in their enemies' very presence. God wants to do that for you. The same thing happened with Paul and Silas when they were in prison in Acts chapter 16. Was Paul facing difficulty, facing enemies? Absolutely. There were enemies that were after him. They had him thrown in prison. And yet Paul feasted in the presence of God, and he was able to sing praises to God. And what was the end result? They ended up having dinner at the jailer's house, having the jailer minister to them, feeding them, taking care of their wounds, and then leading them to the Lord. Feasting in the presence of your enemies is God's will for your life. God says He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That means though there are enemies, though there are difficulties, though there are problems, pressures, and tribulations, God wants you to end up feasting, not overcome by the enemy, not overwhelmed by the circumstances, but receiving the promise of God's goodness in the land of the living. This scripture goes on in Psalm 23, verse 5, where it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." The anointing oil is symbolic throughout scripture of the Holy Spirit. We know that the oil brings joy. You could say the oil of the Holy Spirit brings joy. In Psalm 45, verse 7, it says, "Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows." The oil of the Holy Spirit, this anointing that comes with the Holy Spirit, refreshes people. We know it heals people. In Luke chapter 10, verse 34, you see the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan anointed the man who had fallen in among the robbers, who had been beat up and left for dead. He anointed him and his wounds with oil and with wine. It's a symbolic of the Holy Spirit and that healing power of God. In James 5:14, we're encouraged that if a person's sick, that he should go to the elders of his church and they should anoint him with oil. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing I'll mention about the anointing with oil is that this was a sign or symbol of a person being set apart. We know in 1 Samuel 16, we find the story of Samuel the prophet anointing David as a young boy to be king of Israel. He was sanctifying him or setting him apart by this act of pouring the oil over his head. The oil of the Holy Spirit will sanctify you, cleanse your life, and it will set you apart for holiness. Many people in the body of Christ sometimes seem to be almost afraid of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing to fear. Ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit was given in the book of Acts. Everyone who believed and was baptized when the apostles ministered to them, they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to have His Holy Spirit. There's nothing to fear in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring you joy. The Holy Spirit will refresh you, will heal you, will sanctify and set you apart. Go after that. Ask the Lord for it. It's a promise from God for you. And then the last part of Psalm 23, verse 5 tells us, "My cup runneth over." You know, God's portions are abundant. They're more than enough. We see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the promise that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. Or the Amplified translation says, all more than we could dare to believe. God is an abundant God. He is El Shaddai, the more than enough God. He wants your cup to run over with every good thing in this life, in every way. He wants to bless you spiritually, physically, emotionally, family, financially, every way. He wants your cup running over. He wants you to say, "I am blessed beyond measure." And those blessings that God brings into a person's life were intended by God to be shared. It's God that gives us the power to get wealth. If you've been blessed financially, understand it was God that gave you that ability to get or create wealth, it says in Deuteronomy 8:18. God wants you to bless other people with your finances, not hoard it up for yourself. He wants you to bless the body of Christ, the work of the kingdom of God, to give into ministries that are preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth, that the end might come and Jesus return. God wants your cup running over in every way, financially included. He doesn't want us to consume our blessings upon our own lusts, as James 4:3 warns us. And then the very final verse in Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God wants you to know it is His desire, His plan, and His purpose for your life that goodness and mercy follow you. The word "surely" means, from the Hebrew dictionary, certainly. only, nevertheless, truly. And the word goodness there means good things, beautiful, the best, bountiful. It means favor. It means prosperity, wealth, welfare, and to be well favored. God promises his good things to his sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Then these promises are for you. Are you outside of his flock? Then give your life to the Lord. God has such good things for you. He doesn't want your life to be destroyed. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He has a future and a hope for you. He wants goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. But understand, this passage of Scripture saying that goodness and mercy will follow you does not imply the absence of tribulation in your life, but instead, it's a promise of the goodness of God in the middle of a world that is filled with tribulation. God wants you to understand that and then to be a victor in that. And a believer should live a life in which he leaves a heritage of goodness everywhere he goes. The last part says, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, God wants you to receive his mercy, and mercy has often been defined as not getting what you deserve, whereas justice is getting what you deserve. God's mercy forgives us and releases us from penalties that we deserve to get for our own sins, actions, and shortcomings before the Lord. But his mercy will follow you if you are his child, committed to him, following his lordship and his leading. And lastly, it says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God wants you to dwell or to remain in his presence always. Psalm 16 says that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. You can have that now in this life as well as in the life to come when we are in God's presence continuously in heaven with him. God loves you. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.